Tuesday, February 10th, 2026, and you're listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Today we're in Revelation chapter 3, looking at verses 7 through 13, with part 2 of yesterday's message titled, The Church with an Open Door.
May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make His face to shine upon us, your saving power among all nations. He has blessed you to be a blessing. That's what God promised to Abraham. I'm blessing you to be a blessing. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. See, God is a missionary God, isn't he? And the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us that that's our purpose as a church.
And now here's today's message from Pastor Chris.
Work in Ephesus. And you know what he said? He said it this way. See, God is a missionary God, isn't
he? For me, a great and effective door has been opened.
And the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us that that's our purpose as a church.
I'm staying here until Pentecost.
Maybe we should start by praying tonight.
Because I realize that a door, the Lord has opened a door wide to the message.
And then we would go through it.
This formed a lot of how long Paul stayed in places when he saw the doors opening and closing. He realized it. He was perceptive to that. He could perceive things. He could see things. And that's not a perception that only was given to apostles. That's a perception that we need to ask for. How is the Lord opening and closing the door? We'll come back to that in a minute. Notice here that Paul also said, continue earnestly in prayer. This was when Paul was in Rome under arrest. He pleaded with the Christians because of opposition. Here's what he said. Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving, meanwhile praying also for us that God would open for us a door for the word. So he was calling the churches to pray that as the word was going out, the Lord would open the door to speak the mystery of Christ, he said, for which I also am in chains. It's not open right now, but I need you to pray that God would open the door to the word. I think the church needs to be challenged to pray that today. A lot. I don't think we're praying that. Is it possible we're not praying that prayer and doors aren't being opened? The Lord uses prayer, doesn't he? He works through the prayers of his people. Paul was asking the church to pray for open doors. Now, here's what he's saying to this particular church. I placed you in Philadelphia, and I've just opened the door. I've just opened the door. No one can shut it. Does it give you confidence to do what you do, and to be faithful in the preaching of the gospel and exercising discipline? It should. It's not to stand around and say, well, this isn't going to work. That's not the response, is it? If the mission of the church is to make known Christ, that's the most exciting thing I've ever read. I'm opening doors. The narrow gate, if you find, guess what? I'm going to open up that door. Well, so what is he calling this particular church to? Well, this was a faithful church. He was calling them to the very... I read Psalm 67. I'll come back to that in a second. That's a missionary psalm. To the missionary responsibility to be intentional in the setting Christ has placed them. Because right in that city, an open door he just flung open. A door he just flung open. It's a problem that too many churches today are built just to accommodate religious people. It's easy to create that. Where we feel safe, and you don't have to get messy. I believe this challenges us to think about what our purpose is and why we're here. One of the very important things, this is the Great Commission issue that is dealt with in this particular church. You realize a door can be shut any time? If we don't tend to the door of opportunities that are in front of us, doors do go shut. Not only can it be shut in the place we are, but the Lord has told us that one day the door will finally be shut. So doors go shut in places. Churches fold sometimes. Doors go shut. Doors open. Jesus was constantly telling people to strive through the gate. Why? Because one day the master's going to come and shut the door. So this language is everywhere. You know this language. We have to look at it in terms of ministry tonight and think about doors open and doors closed when he opens a door. So here the Lord is calling the church to recognize the unique opportunities that he's given them in the place where they are. It requires wisdom, doesn't it? It requires desire to go through the door. It requires understanding your setting. You get to make known the Savior. And the Lord wants us to be in prayer about how, I'm not talking about, we have the means of grace. I'm not talking about changing any of that. We'll talk about this in a second. But what I'm saying is to think a lot about the particular challenges that we face in doing that and how we reach to the people. You think the Lord has given us a door here? Oh, I think so. I see it. Are we aware that a door's open to us? I see it. Do you see it? Maybe I can help you with that just for a minute. Think it through of it just through the lens of their struggle for a second. And I think you'll see. When this church was told by Jesus, I'm assuming, he says, I'm opening a door. I'm assuming by the things that Christ now observed the church was facing and the challenges and the obstacles and the opposition, that they were reluctant to act on this opportunity. I'm assuming that. I think it's safe to assume. I say that because Christ acknowledges here some real struggles and some real deterring factors to be bold in the mission. What are they? Well, look what he says in verse 8. I see you have little strength. I see you have little power, yet you've kept my word and not denied my name. He's having them think about that. This was not a powerful church. This was not a well-resourced church. My guess is that they were small in comparison to the city. Their resources may have been little. It could have been a variety of reasons he said that. Maybe they were of lower socioeconomic class. I don't know. Maybe they were poor. Maybe it was when Christ said, you have little strength. They were a very weak group in some way. I don't know exactly precisely what he's talking about, but he's telling them, in your weakness, as we've been considering, remember, the power of Christ rests upon us, they considered that weakness as something to hold them back. And we read it further that this church was not very well liked in the community. You'll notice there that Jesus calls the Jews a synagogue of Satan. The Jews were obviously persecuting them. There was great resistance by the Jews. We have no idea how bad that conflict must have been, but we know from church history it was bad. Further, it seems that Jesus is forewarning them, something's about to come to try everyone. You'll notice that there, something big, economically, spiritually. Notice we're not told, but he says that something is coming to test those in this hour of trial that's going to come upon the whole world. So you have some major obstacles that Jesus is saying here. What do people do in times of trial, test, and obstacles? They retreat. Well, this is not the time to be doing this. This is not the time to be doing this. Look at what's going on. We need to wait. We need better circumstances. We need better times, better scenarios. This is foolish to go to do stuff like that at this point. And a lot of churches sit there for a long time, don't they? You'll always find an obstacle. Christ says in the midst of this, though, but I just opened a door. He loves to open doors in the midst of obstacles, doesn't he? We know how our Lord works by now. Go, he's saying. That was the heart of the Great Commission. Go. Well, no, but we've got to calculate and figure this out. One pastor said, The church urgently needs Christians of apostolic zeal who will count all things lost for Christ and hazard life, comfort, career, and reputation for Him. The open doors are many, but there are few who go through them. The Lord is telling this church, go through the door. I'm going to tell you what I think this door is here in a minute. You've been given so much. Love by God, grace, all this strengthening, all this help, all this ministry. Think of how much you've received from the ministry. When Paul was on his... How do you look at ministry, though, now that you've received all that? When Paul was on his missionary journeys, you know, he had come to Mysia, tried to go to Bithynia. The Spirit didn't let him go. Listen to what he says. So, passing by Mysia, they came to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. You know, that's what you should be hearing. Come help us. People are saying that. Come help us. The door's open. Come help us. You know how many people need our help? Who? Here's what I believe the door was. Who was the door open to? I think you're told in verse 9. Listen to this. Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they're Jews and are not but lie. Behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, and they'll learn that I've loved you. The Jews believed they were the true Israel. And the Lord here made clear that it was His church that's the true Israel. The tension was fierce. But Paul said something back in Romans 11 that helps us with this when he said that the mystery would be, as the gospel would be preached, when the Gentiles would preach the gospel faithfully, it would provoke the Jews to what? Jealousy. And salvation then, as it went out to the Gentiles, as it provoked the Jews to jealousy, many of them would come in and be saved. Well, here's what the Lord just said. I'm going to bring a whole bunch of ethnic Jews into your house. They're coming to you. They're going to believe. They're going to be converted. I'm going to use you. What do you think the Christians in Philadelphia said about that? Them? No, come on. Not them, of all people. Not them. You know how much work that's going to be? Go. There's your door, right? Ministry is not always how we think it's going to go, or who it's going to be to, or how the Lord's going to work. That's not what we envisioned in our church who we're going to reach out to. It presents so many challenges. And the Lord's saying, you freely receive, freely give. You've kept my word, now spread it. Be faithful to it. I've got a door for you. Now, what does that tell us? Sometimes the door is opened. The open door is not to the situations or the peoples we think. Sometimes those who need our help the most are those we would never choose to minister to. But that's how the Lord works, isn't it? I asked at the AGR dinner, I was thinking about some of this, and I said, when this church was built, what was around it? A lot of land, wasn't there? That must have been a nice time. I heard one of the pastors had a cow at the parsonage. I would love to have a cow at the parsonage. I don't think the city would like that, but what's happened? The city's come to you. The city's right here. It's not a field anymore, is it? It may have been somewhat easier that way. But now everything's changed. The Lord has brought the city to your doorstep. You have to think about that. I was going through the demographics of the census in Escondido. You know, in 2000, the census, Hispanic, 51,693. It was 38 in 2000, 38%. White was 69,000. That's about 52%. Black was 2,700. 2%. Asian was 6,000, about 4.5%. Listen to how it's changed in 2015. Hispanic, 74,953, 50.9%. White, down, 57,244, that's 38%, down from 51. Black, about the same, 26,84, 1.8. Asian, up 8,822, 6%. That's interesting, isn't it, to think about? Don't you think we should think about those things? The church is meant to reflect the city it's in. How are we doing with that? It's an important question to think about, isn't it? If the demographics of the Escondido URC would put up, what would it show? And these are things we need to pray about. Do we desire to see and reach out that way? This is the challenge the Lord gives us. Think about that church in Philadelphia, the Jews. See? Think about these things. I'm convinced that the church should look like the city it's in and think about how best to minister. The ministry can't just be for certain groups to say, well, that's for Mission Vida Nueva. Well, we have to think about these things, don't we? We have to think about how to love our neighbor. I get it. I'm comfortable around those who I'm most like. I'm the first one to be guilty about that. I remember in Linden, the ongoing laugh was a man by the name of Dan Korn. And Dan Korn first visited a church in Linden. An elderly man walked up to him and greeted him and said, "What's your name?" He said, "Dan Korn." He goes, "Oh, Van Korn." No, Dan Korn. Oh. It's kind of the end of the conversation at that point. So that's not the first way we want to greet somebody, right? Right? I know you'd laugh at that. You're not mad at me at that, are you? Of course not. You know that goes on. The Dutch bingo thing has gone on for a long time. I just can't play it. The body of Christ is one, isn't it? It's made of all tribes, tongues, peoples, and nations. And that's one way we have to think about being intentional. I don't have all the answers for that, but I think we should pray about wisdom and help as elders and deacons and pastors. And you, pray for that. We have another kind of open door, I think, to a generation, a younger generation, that's really struggling right now. There's a reason Paul says that the older men should be instructing the young men in the faith, and the older women, the young women in the faith. We're not doing that well. These are all doors. So notice what Jesus said. I'm opening it and I'm going to bring. It's not so much about going out and doing anything new. We don't need a new program. It's not what it's saying. It's saying be involved in what you have. Hold what you have. Love what we do. Be there. Be excited about it. Enjoy it. Enjoy worship. Enjoy the people. Love the people. I think we're always trying to figure out what could we do that's new. In a sense, it's just holding on and recovering what we have and then praying about how best to reach them and talk to them, to people. This is the opportunity. The Lord says, I've opened the door. I'll close here, but I want you to think a little bit about John 4. When Jesus saved that woman at the well, the Samaritan. The Jews didn't like the Samaritans. They didn't get along. She is so taken by the gospel and grace, she goes back and tells a city. And they look up, and a city's coming back to Jesus. And they say, "We believe your word." They believe the word. The door was open. It was right there. And Jesus was telling them, "That's my food," to his disciples who were worried about physical food. "No, that's my food. It is to give eternal life to as many as my Father has given me." That's what we're doing. Well, Christ gives a promise here in closing. "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have," in verse 11. See it? Hold fast. You've got something really rich. You've got to believe that, though. Sometimes I think we're embarrassed about who we are. You've got to believe you offer something very rich. You have something very rich. "Hold fast so that no one may seize your crown. The one who conquers, I'm going to make him a pillar in the temple of my God." You've seen the pillars, haven't you? Of ancient Athens and Rome and Greece, the pillars. He knows what pillars were everything in the ancient world. I'll make you that pillar. Never shall he go out of it, and I'll write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. We've looked at these themes. We've considered these. He's reminding them of their status and their certainty of where they're going to be, the hope of where they're going. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. I'm closing with this thought from Psalm 67. Listen to, tonight we're going to leave worship and the Lord's going to bless you. You're used to all this. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. You're going to hear that Aaronic benediction and blessing. For what reason? Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us. Why? Why is he sending you out this week and sending you out with blessing and strength from him? That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all nations. He has blessed you to be a blessing. That's what God promised to Abraham. I'm blessing you to be a blessing. Let all the peoples praise you. Let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy. See, God is a missionary God, isn't he? And the Lord Jesus Christ is reminding us that that's our purpose as a church. I hope that encouraged you, challenged you, helped you to think about it, and to know what to pray for. Maybe we should start by praying tonight that the Lord would open a door for us. And do we see that door? And then that we would go through it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give you praise tonight and are thankful for the instruction that you give us in your word. It is certainly profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Well, that's true for your church. Thank you for helping us to see why we're here, the purpose that you've given, a great commission, blessing us that we might be a blessing. Help us to think about that. Help us to desire that. We know, all of us, we're comfortable around our own. We're comfortable around those who are most easy, and those who, Lord, we're most familiar with, and those who don't stretch us. But help us to remember our purpose here on earth. And we pray for open doors. We pray that the ministry of the means of grace, of the keys of the kingdom as they're exercised, would be faithful here, that we'd hold fast to what we have, but also realize that as you're building and doors are opened, that as you bring people to us, to our feet, as is said in this passage, that we would be open and welcoming, embracing, talking, and helping them and care. And I've seen that in this church. Give us the desire, Lord, but also the ability to embrace and integrate and love the way that you want us to do. Thank you for including us in your family when we didn't deserve it. And we humbly bow tonight and ask, Lord, that this, the Escondido URC, and be faithful to the Great Commission. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That's all the time we have for today. We thank you for listening to us here on Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Be sure to tune in next time to hear more from Pastor Chris. Thanks again. Until next time, God bless.